everybody can suck it.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Julie, did I ever tell you about the time I was in school and a teacher asked me who signed the Declaration of Independence?
No. Why don't you tell me?
Okay. I'm in school, the teacher says, Cotter, stand up. I stand up. She says, who signed the Declaration of Independence?
What did you say?
I said, I don't know. But I know. I didn't sign it. She says, go home and get your father. Bring him into school the next day.
Okay, then what happened?
Well, I had to bring my father into school the next day.
Uh-huh.
She said, Mr. Cotter, watch this. Gabe, stand up. I stood up. She said, who signed the Declaration of Independence? I said, I don't know, but I know I didn't sign it. She looks at my father. She says, you see that?
Well, what did your father say?
My father said, if he says he didn't sign it, he didn't sign it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Yeah.
Just as cute as a peyote button. The Don and Mike Show.
Just a bunch of white trash.
Yep, we are.
Welcome back.
All right, so somewhere on this phone, Gabe Kaplan is waiting to talk to us. He's got to be so sick of people coming up to him and going, Mr. Cotter.
And he's been dealing with that for decades.
Yeah. So, Gabe Kaplan was ahead of the curve with poker.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody knows that he became a professional poker player.
I remember how shocked we all were when he did that. You know, a professional poker player?
What? Anyway, Gabe Kaplan, of course, is Mr. Cotter. Welcome back, Cotter. And he's written a book about it now, and we got him on our phone. Here is Gabe Potter.
Gabe Kaplan. The other bestseller.
It's Connor Gabe. Kaplan, what's the difference?
Yeah,
You get so, hi, Gabe. You get so identified with being a character. And back in 75, 76, when your show was on, you know, just hot as balls. I mean, there was just a magic, a timing, a chemistry about that show. And you'll always be Mr. Cotter. I mean, I'm a fan of The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, some of your other work, but you'll be Mr. Cotter to me always, and that's a compliment.
Well, it's interesting. Today, when people see me, they still know that, but They don't say, are you Gabe Kaplan? And they don't say, are you Mr. Cotter? They say, are you Welcome Back Cotter?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, in the poker world now, I mean, you've been way ahead of the curve on that. And now, I mean, I've never seen anything like the explosion of poker. It's incredible.
Yeah, it used to be on for an hour a year. One Sunday, like on Wide World of Sports, as part of an overall Sunday sports package, they would say, you know, we'll be back from the World Series of Poker to see who wins, and that was it. And now poker's sort of exploded, and it's really fascinating for me to watch because I've been involved in it for so long, and I remember how few people were involved, and now everybody seems to be fascinated by No Limit Hold'em.
Hey, without getting into your personal finances, I know you did really well when you first started becoming a professional poker player. I wonder how much the stakes have changed from when you got into, like, now when I see the World Series of Poker and I see these guys walking away with millions of bucks and they're just regular Joes from at home. How has the prize money changed?
Well, the prize money is the first time I played in the World Series of Poker, there was 40 players. Now, you know, last year there was 8,500. This year there was 6,500. So the first prize was $200,000. You got 50% of the money the first time I played. Now it's 8, 9, 10 million. So
Wow. That's
how much it's changed.
When you got into it, when you got into being a professional poker player, obviously, was it when you were doing the TV show at the same time? Had you done it before? And was it tough for you to get into that circle? It's kind of a backroom thing for a while, wasn't it?
Well, I never was really a professional poker player. I think people got that idea because I had done very well in a few poker tournaments, about 20 years ago when it wasn't popular and it was sort of a new thing and people really didn't know what it was to win money in poker tournaments. And over the years, I've done a lot of commentating on poker. So it really was a sort of thing where a metamorphosis where now everybody knows about and everybody plays poker and the money has gotten so big. But the thing is, you know, if you notice, there's always different people in the World Series of Poker and at the final table. If you see one pro or one guy that's got some name recognition, it's unusual because these people come from everywhere and everybody can play pretty good now because of television. It's not really that complicated a game, and it's a game where if you have some kind of knowledge, you're competitive with the best players in the world. So that's probably part of the attraction.
Oh, pretty incredible stuff. Thank you for telling us that. Now your book, which is about welcome back. Listen to the title of this book. It's called Cotter's Back: Emails from a Faded Celebrity to a Bewildered World. So when you write the topic of the title of the book is Cotter's Back: Emails from a Faded Celebrity. Are you writing emails? Are you answering emails in this book? What is the title about?
Well, it started where I haven't been on television in the last 15 years, mostly by choice. If I had been offered anything good, I would have done it, but I wasn't offered anything good, so I chose not to do what they were offering me, which was about 3 years ago. I started getting a lot of reality show offers to be on The Surreal Life.
Oh.
Celebrity Moles, Celebrity Fear Factor.
I'm glad you didn't do that.
Right. I was like a go-to guy. Hey, you know, let's get Mr. Cotter on these shows. That'd be funny. So I didn't want to do any of them, but I don't really see anything wrong with them. If you like it, if it's entertainment to you, great. And if celebrities want to do it because they want the exposure, they want the money, whatever reason, that's their choice. But I got an email offer to be on Celebrity Boxing, and I said, well, this is just crossing the line.
So
didn't one of your students end up doing it?
Yeah, well, that's why they thought of me, because Ron Palillo had done it.
Orshak did it.
He got his ass kicked, right?
I think Screech beat him.
Screech beat him, broke his nose.
That's right.
So is your book kind of a compilation of the crap that people have thrown at you? Is it a...
Well, no, in this they were seeking me out, and they said, you know, we want you on the next Who Do You Want to Fight? And I couldn't believe it, so I wrote back what I thought was telling them I didn't want to do it. I said, who do I want to fight? I want to fight Conrad Bain.
That's good for the TV historians listening right now.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Mr. Drummond. Get Mr. Drummond in the ring with me.
Conrad Bain.
So, Gabe, back in the heyday on Welcome Back, Cotter, you had the hysteria. The big shows were like Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Love Boat, and then there's Welcome Back, Cotter. And like all of the big stars back in the 70s with TV, you reached the point where they were paying you dick. And didn't you leave for a while on Welcome Back, Cotter? Because I remember a point in time where your wife was like just hanging around with all of the clods. And I'm going like, where's Mr. I remember being
the
a
sweat
kid.
Hogs.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and wondering, how could it be Welcome Back, Cotter, without Mr. Cotter?
Right.
It was sort of Mr. Cotter in the Twilight Zone. Welcome Back, yeah. Cotter, Twilight Zone. Well, we had a disagreement after 3 years where I thought that the guys were too old to be in high school, and it was looking very unrealistic. You know, they're like 24, 25 years old. And I wanted to move it to a junior college, and the network and the producers didn't agree. So we sort of had a parting of the ways where I was on maybe four or five shows, and John Travolta was on four or five shows in the last season. So the last season has no particular anything in common with the first three seasons. So it was a little strange. But that was because it was a new thing. I was the first comedian who they had made a show basically about my stand-up. And at that point, the writers were still the writers, and the producers were the producers, and they wanted the actors to just sort of act and maybe ad-lib a line once in a while, but they wanted to be the writers and the producers. They didn't realize that nobody knows a comedian's material better than the comedian, and they've realized that now with Jerry Seinfeld and Paul Reiser and Roseanne Barr and Ray Romano and George Lopez. So these guys are really involved in their shows. They really, and network and the producers want them to be involved, but at my time, you know, it was a new thing. And when I said, hey, we got to move them because this doesn't look right anymore, they said, no, we'll do it our way, you know. And I just said, no, I don't want to do it that way.
I like your take on this. You really have your head on your shoulders. Are you touched by the emotion that people have for you with the show? Because it really was one of those little hidden gems. It was a huge show, but it's like one that you think about, you go back, you go, oh, yeah. Welcome Back, Cotter was always good. Every week it was good.
That's why it's got such staying power, I think. I mean, everybody knows it.
Yeah, you guys are really hitting on it, because when the show was on, it was like number 20 in the ratings on average. So it was up there, but it wasn't a mega hit like some shows that were on. But a lot of those shows you forget about and they don't stay with you. And even though Cotter wasn't like really way up there in the ratings, it's just a show for some reason, whatever that indefinable reason is, that it stays with you and becomes part of the pop culture. and everybody seems to remember it.
You know, I want you to tell me whether I'm wrong or not, because really, this has always been my perception of you after that show was over. I always thought, you know, this was a guy that kind of, you know, almost went underground after the success of the show. You really didn't hear a lot about him. Then the poker thing came up, and I always got the impression that maybe you wanted to get away from the whole Hollywood thing. Is that how accurate is that?
Fairly accurate, not really accurate. You know, I would have loved to have continued to be a big television star and got roles, but there's just a point where you have to decide if you're going to do what's offered you, even though it's not what you want to do, but it's the only way that you can still function as an actor. And most actors do that because they're not fulfilled unless they're acting. So when I got offered like the fifth or sixth part on a show to do this role or to be on game shows or reality shows or something like that, I, you know, just wasn't interested in doing it. So I wasn't really getting any kind of offers that I wanted to do. And then, you know, and that's what I based the book on, is that people have all these conceptions about actors that they haven't seen for a while. And if you email anybody, they'll, since they have some kind of reference to who you are, have some degree of familiarity with you, and also a degree of familiarity with how many actors can go off the deep end in different ways,
yeah,
they'll believe anything. And I said, well, this is interesting. But I didn't want to put anybody's email in the book unless they agreed. So even though some of the people look a little silly and the situations are ridiculous, nobody's in there that didn't want to be in there.
So these are emails of people's impressions about you?
Well, like, you know, I emailed governmental, like I emailed the Postmaster General of the United States. And I said, I'm a big celebrity, and you haven't asked me to be on a stamp, and I'm very insulted. And one of you guys in the post office is going to get around to asking me to be on a stamp. And he emails back that, you know, you have to be deceased. And I said, well, a lot of people think I'm deceased anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I'm totally confused
No. I've got this. It's a premise like the guy that was Guido Sarducci. He wrote books.
Exactly.
He wrote books called The Laszlo Letters.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Now, and then there was a Jerry Seinfeld's friend, a comedian, wrote a book, Letters from a Nut.
Yes.
But see, these books were written by fictitious people. The letters were written by real people, but fictitious people signed them, and people didn't know how to react. But this is like the first time that someone who they know,
I like that. That's a good concept, Gabe.
Yeah.
And if you could take one more compliment, your stand-up. I remember, I was, don't want to date you here, I was 13, 14, when you would go on Johnny Carson. My God, Johnny Carson loved your ass. I remember you'd go out and do stand-up, and Johnny would always be like, come over, sit down, just killer stuff. Are you ever going to do stand-up again?
Well, I do stand-up for sort of corporate and conventions where most of the people have familiarity with me. They remember the show, and I can talk semi-motivationally and mostly comedically about different businesses because I've been involved, you know, since Carter went off the air in a lot of different financial markets. So I do some of that. I don't think I would really draw in a club for the public because you know, everybody wants who's on television now, who's hot. You know, when people are paying money, they want to see the latest thing. So and then if it's just nostalgia, you know, nostalgia music is a lot more.
But Gabe, like, I would like seeing Gabe Kaplan talking about what's going on today. I wouldn't want to see you do your routine from 30 years ago. But, you know, much like Jerry Seinfeld, I'd like to hear what you think about everything in the goddamn world now.
Yeah, but, you know, I did a few nightclubs, and the drawing power wasn't still there.
Yeah.
Even though that's what I was doing, I always talk about what's current and what's happening in the world and what's happening with me. But since I haven't been on television in a long time and people don't know me except from...
Oh, Gabe, everybody knows you. Gabe, who's your representative? Who's your agent? Is he Vigorous? I mean, I'd love to be your agent. I'll get you a gig this weekend, for God's sake.
What would be the one thing that you would share with us that people really would be surprised to find out about you, Gabe Kaplan?
Well, like you said, a lot of people think I'm a professional poker player,
right?
You know, and I never have been.
Do you play a lot for fun?
No, not that much. I do the commentating.
Okay.
There's a show called High Stakes Poker, which is not a tournament. It's
on Game Show Network. Right.
It's a real poker game where the best players playing, and everything doesn't escalate so that people have to gamble more. They just play the best cards they can, and they play the best game. And it's much different than a tournament, so everybody likes that show. And that's. But I think people mostly know. You know, the only question is really, why haven't they seen me? Has it been because it's my choice, or because people didn't want me? And it's really a combination of both things. You know, if I do have people I remember fondly the things I've done, and that makes me feel. It makes me feel great, but you know the public is a lot of different is a big difference between the public and the people who run the industry.
Gotcha. Well, Gabe, I don't know. I think for goodness sakes, you're great. You should look in a mirror and realize you're the great Gabe Kaplan.
I could see him doing a stand up on the circuit again. I really could.
I don't see that. I just see an old Jewish guy in the mirror. I don't know.
Yeah, and hello, that's still funny.
That always works.
Well, Gabe, it's been a real pleasure having you on our show. Your book is called Cotter's Back: Emails from a Faded Celebrity to a Bewildered World. Huh. You can get it at Amazon.com.
Well, nice talking to you guys.
You're great, Gabe.
Thanks, Gabe. Good luck.
Take care.
Bye-bye. He's running on E in the self-confidence department, isn't he, really?
Welcome the act. I mean, if you remember, that was Gabe Cotter, too. I mean, that was the same kind of, you know, you're not going to get the enthusiastic, you know, you're not going to get Donald Trump out of him.
No, I love that, but on the other hand...
What I've also heard about him is that he does pretty well for himself. The reason he's a motivational speaker for businesses is because he's been very successful in business.
But I could
be wrong about that. I thought he was a professional poker player.
I would have thought he could just, like, go somewhere and name his price to play a week. Could you see him in Atlantic City?
If I saw that, I'd walk in. I'd see
I'd
that
go
comedy
to see
show.
Him.
Of course, he's a funny stand-up guy. Yeah. Well, we'll see. You never see. I guess if you're at the right corporate outing, you'll be able to see Mr.
Maybe he'll run into Frank Caliendo at one of those things.
They pay well. That's what I hear. They pay very well.
But who would hire Mr. Cotter to like give you a rah-rah speech?
Well, you heard that man we were talking to. Doesn't he strike you as the kind of guy that can build confidence? I joke. I kid because I love.
Touche. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.